Okay, big day today. The Christ, the King of the Universe Sunday. It's a pretty heavy concept, really. What about that Jewish carpenter makes him King of the Universe? The short version is straightforward enough. Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is fully human and fully divine. We firmly believe that Christ is entirely unique in that way, and we firmly believe that our salvation depends upon his divinity. Therefore, he is the King of the Universe, no matter the particulars of his life. Because, I mean, it's true, he wore rags. He very likely had an unkingly beard. He was almost certainly not proficient in Greek, the imperial language of the time, and the list goes on. Christ was not particularly kingly with respect to the details of his life here on earth. And none of that really matters. Fully human, fully divine, therefore, King of all things. I could just leave it there, but let's piggyback off of that idea. Because there is there's a phrase out there that is more commonly misused than used. And that phrase is the one true faith. Is Catholicism the one true faith? Yes. And no. If you are feeling confused now, thank you for paying attention. You are supposed to be confused at this point. Now, when I say that Catholicism is not the one true faith, don't worry. It is a statement of compassion and solidarity. Faith and religion are not binary matters, okay? It is not yes or no with absolutely nothing in between. If you disagree with that, I sincerely hope you are perfect in every way. The math will not work out otherwise. Having faith and sincerely making your way to God is good. Belonging to a religion that teaches justice and compassion for others is good. The Catholic Church does not have a monopoly on any of that. Okay? That is the middle ground that makes up the no part of the answer. And for those of you that are pulling out your cell phones to send me angry emails accusing me of heresy, hang on. I am directly referring to authoritative church teaching. Specifically, a document of the Vatican II Council by the name of Lumen Gentium. It's the dogmatic constitution of the church. And so I quote from paragraph 16. Finally, those who have not yet received the gospel are related in various ways to the people of God, the church. In the first place, we must recall the people to whom the testament and the promises were given and from whom Christ was born according to the flesh. So that's referring to the Jews. On account of their fathers, this people remains most dear to God. For God does not repent of the gifts he makes, nor the calls he issues. But the plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator. Those also can attain to salvation who, through no fault of their own, do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, yet sincerely seek God, and moved by grace, strive by their deeds to do his will as it is known to them through the dictates of their conscience. Nor does divine providence deny the helps necessary for salvation to those who, without any blame on their part, have not yet arrived at an explicit knowledge of God, and with his grace strive to lead a good life. Whatever good or truth is found among them is looked upon by the church as a preparation for the gospel. Obviously, I'm cherry-picking. That is a very long document, And most of it is about the glory of the church and good Christian living. But it is vital that you understand this. People of other faiths and people of without faith are not automatically sealed off from salvation. And the church instructs us to respect those people in the middle for whatever goodness and holiness binds them to God. So again, you could call it preparation for the gospel if you like. The point is the same. It's not binary. It's not yes or no with nothing in the middle. It's scalar. It's a scale. On one side, you've got the fullness of divine revelation. And on the other side, you've got the emptiness of despair and meaninglessness. And there's a whole lot of stuff in the middle. And that document is saying we have to trust that the Holy Spirit will be part of someone's life somewhere in that middle, so as long as there is some goodness or holiness within them. Even as we say all that, though, we do believe that the Catholic Church, Catholicism, is the one true faith, and here's how. As Christians, we believe that Christ is the salvation of all. Okay? And his divinity is what that salvation depends upon. So we believe that our salvation depends on Christ for a good reason. It is not like a God who comes to earth the way we go on a sightseeing tour. It's not like a God who's totally powerful but never comes to earth for fear of getting his hands literally dirty. For salvation to exist for real, divinity must mix with humanity. That is Christ, God becoming man in all things but sin, anyway. That is the essence of Christianity. And Catholicism is the central part of that, an unbroken chain of apostolic succession straight from Jesus himself. So once again, how are we today the one true faith? Well, let's phrase it like this. We hold to the essential truths of salvation for all through loyalty to Christ and his apostles. Those truths which we profess and defend, those truths open up salvation to all people, even those people who are not explicitly aware of their own spiritual journey. So that means that if Catholicism is true, then other faiths are also true, if only partially, because of the Holy Spirit. If Catholicism is false, then all things are false. If the Catholic Church cannot offer genuine redemption through Christ, then redemption has never been a possibility. Okay? We are holding the entire weight of the world on our collective shoulders. Other people help lighten the load, but we believe that in the end, that labor is ours to endure because of our loyalty to Christ and his church. That is what we mean when we use the phrase, the one true faith. And we can say that with our heads held high as long as we have the humility to remember that heaven is available for the less than perfect. That includes the people who do not have the fullness of the gospel message, as well as the sinful people who somehow lack perfection of holiness, like all of us.